Good morning and welcome to Peach Talk. This is our town. I'm Chris Johnson, your host, and in the studio with me this morning is my very special guest this week, Mr. Derek Scott. And Derek's been around Clanton a long time, and his family's been around a long time. Derek, I guess, is probably Clanton's historian. If we could say we had a historian, I would claim Derek is Clanton's historian. Derek does a lot of research and stuff, and you see it on Facebook quite a bit. If you visited the you lived in Clanton Facebook page, you'll see a lot of posts he puts on there about different things. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Chris. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you with us. And we were talking a couple of days ago and decided we might just do a little Back to the Future style program here on Pete's Talk and take a trip. And we're going to this is probably going to be one of several, because there's no way we can cover all of Clanton or Chilton County by any means in one 30-minute program. But we're going to talk a little bit about Clanton in the past, and take this today. We're going to try to take a journey down Main Street, which is Second Avenue North, and we'll talk about what businesses are there now and what used to be there back when, even before our time, and then we'll stretch our memories as kids and try to remember some things that were in some of those buildings. And some of our listeners, I'm sure, will remember a lot better than we do. And you and I both will probably get a good chewing from somebody on something that we get wrong, but that's all right. That's what we want you to do. Let us know if you know something we don't know. You can let us know, and I'm sure Derek sure would love to know something he didn't know.
That's right. Always looking for corrections to stuff. Let me do a little quick review of the history of it way back before any of us remember. The county was formed in 1868, so there was really nothing here before that except a cattle ranch. And a recollection of a African-American minister named Reverend Desjarnet in the 1930s talked about his time as a teenager working in the new town of Clanton. And he recounted that it was nothing but a sawmill town owned by the Gullahorns, full of stumps and mud and log courthouse, and the train station was just a railroad car on a siding. And that was the town of Clanton in the 1870s. And pretty soon in the 1880s, 1890s, you had your typical Western-looking wood frame buildings kind of town grow up. And Second Avenue was called Main Street, and it was the street for the longest of the county, of the town of Clanton.
So that's a good place for us to start with our walk through history is on Second Avenue, because that's kind of where a lot of the older buildings are. In fact, you mentioned one of the buildings that's on the corner of Second and Highway 31 is, to your knowledge, the oldest building standing in Clanton. Is that correct?
Right. From reading things in the papers and whatnot, it was built, I believe, in 1898 by W.L. Sampey, who owned that whole corner. And most of that block, I believe. And it was a hardware store, and I believe it was his son-in-law, Pinkard, that pretty soon had bought it out and was running Pinkard's Hardware, which lasted for many years there, probably 20 years. And then many people know it later on as Big Four Hardware. And, of course, I knew it more as Lorch's Diamond Store in the
70s. Yeah, it became Lorch's, and then it became the most recent was Pawn Shop.
Southern Valley
Pawn. And it's been sold, and something new fixed to go there, and I'm not sure what's going, but something new. Somebody bought it to put something there, so it's fixing to get a facelift and another generation of its life.
But that's a 120-something-year-old building. And most of the other brick buildings were built in the 1901, 1902 time frames after the big fires.
You mentioned that there were two major fires back in the history of Clanton that took out like city blocks at a time, and that was when?
Both of them were, the worst ones were in 1901. One was early in the year and one was in the summer. One took out the block from the courthouse corner all the way toward the railroad to almost the alley. The first brick building there didn't burn. And the other one took out from the train station all the way up to the hardware store building. And all of those buildings were rebuilt as brick when they rebuilt them. Most of them were rebuilt within the year. So.
Yeah, so most of those buildings were built in the early 1900s, around 1902, three, four.
That's right.
That range.
All of those standing brick buildings in town center there are at least 115 years old now.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Can't build them like they used to. We've had a lot of buildings built since then that hit the crown.
That's right.
Well, let's start back up, take our little back to the future journey here, so to speak, on Second Avenue. Let's start back up about what would be 9th Street, the corner of 9th Street and 2nd Avenue. In my childhood and teenage years, I remember on the what would be the northeast corner of that intersection was a Sinclair service station.
Right.
Richard Motes ran that service station for many years. I bought a lot of gas there for 30-something cents a gallon.
Well, I grew up down the Mount Pisgah, down that road, and that's the first thing you'd see coming into town at that stop sign was the service station.
And a lot of folks remember Richard Motes and Harold, what was Harold's name? Sansom. Harold Sansom worked with Richard for years and years. Then Harold went to work as the detail man at Stoke Chevrolet and passed away not too many years ago. Harold was a great guy. I remember him. And of course, Richard was a real nice guy, too. Richard moved it, the service station down the street where there's still currently a 76 station now. That was his new service station. That's where he retired from. And then he had a little radiator shop up near his house on 31. So that was on that corner. And then across the street from that, I've always remembered as being a vacant lot. But you informed me that there was actually a church there one time.
Yeah, growing up, that was always a vacant lot. And in fact, I believe it's been a vacant lot since the early 1900s. But it was the location of the first the Episcopal Church in Clanton in the late 1800s. By the time the fire burned that block where the old wooden hotel was, it burned the church and the hotel and another boarding house. I believe it was in 1914, 1915. So that church had been gone since then. It was idle at the time. I don't believe there was a congregation using it. But it was the Episcopal Church's first location in Clanton.
Of course, we cross the street, and next to that vacant lot is the brick building, still standing. That is the replacement to the hotel that burned.
That's right.
Most people know it as the Willingham
Hotel.
It's had several names down through history, though.
In their most recent memory, Willingham, it was rebuilt by P.D. Wilson, who you'll hear that name a lot in, if you look at buildings in town. It was Wilson Hotel for its early years. The Palmers ran it. A lot of times it was called the Palmer Hotel, the Palmer House. There's a lot of names for that building and the previous wooden frame building, too.
And, of course, that building is listed as a historical building in the National Registry or whatever. And I think it's listed there as the Hotel Willingham, right?
I believe they did list it with that name.
I think it's listed Hotel Willingham.
That was the last name it was for any period of time.
Yeah. And, of course, I'm not sure what was on the opposite side of the street from that, on the between the service station and that corner.
For a lot of years early on, it was a wood frame boarding house.
Yeah.
And then it was the site of maybe the first boarding house in town, but Thomas Thompson. And but that was long, long ago, and it fell into disrepair. It was used as a boarding house for many years, and then finally was torn down probably in the 1930s or so.
Yeah, and then the brick structure that's there built, which is was a Civitan home at one time. Mm-hmm. And
parsonage.
And a parsonage for the church at one time, and been several things. Well, let's cross the street, heading towards the railroad from there, and stay on the north side of the street for just a second. On the corner was a two-story building that's still there.
Right.
That
brick
building now that currently being used by a Hispanic church congregation for the Methodist Church.
Right.
And that building, you were mentioning who built that building. And
The probate judge L.H. Reynolds built that building early 1900s or 1920 time frame, and it's had, I think the bottom has always been some sort of retail store, feed store, grocery store. We remember it as Jack Mims.
Yeah, Jack Mims grocery store was there. That's the second location of Jack Mims I remember. I remember his old location, which was next to the current library, which is now the building was is now a lawyer's office.
Right.
Jack Mills is in there. Then it was a washer-tier for many years. And then I think it's been a lawyer's office pretty much since. And, and the Mills, Jack and his brother, what was his name? Reedy?
I don't remember that.
I may have that wrong. Reed. I think it was Jack and Reed Mims. They moved to there and enlarged their store, and were a pretty popular grocery store for a long time up there.
Well, the upstairs of that building had been various offices over the years, but I know for a long period of time it was Scott's Photography Studio, which everybody my age and older remember. Pictures in town were taken by Mr. Scott, so no relation. He later moved over to 7th Street right there, which is where maybe people might remember his office.
Yeah, which is now Chilton County News office down 7th Street. So he built that building, built it as a photography studio, and he was there many, many, many years. I guess it was probably, maybe early 60s when he built down there.
Yeah, he was an active photographer for a very long time, and very confusing to me. There was a previous Mr. Scott photographer before him in Clanton, which was very confusing when I was trying to. It looked like Mr. Scott was very, very, very old. But turns out there's two of them.
There were two of them.
And I don't think they were related, but there was two of them.
And of course, traveling on down the street towards the railroad track is now a lot that is still being used by the Hispanic church. There's a little outdoor stage, whatever.
Right.
And if you're that way, you need to pay attention to the mural on the wall there, which is the second version of that mural. The first one was painted and peeled off some or whatever. And then they actually, I think the second version was the frame. But Wilson Spotted Bird painted that. He's passed on. He did a lot of sign painting in recent history in Chilton County.
I remember the name.
He was a Cherokee Indian. Came here, lived down at Deatsville, and super nice guy. Actually a degreed artist, and a lot of people didn't know that. And he was a sure enough artist. And if you go look at that mural of the Last Supper on that wall, you can definitely tell he wasn't just a sign painter. He was an artist. Of course, he did a lot of signs as well. We were trying to think what was in that. There was a building there prior to it actually fell in, and they turned it into that courtyard area. And neither one of us can remember anything that was ever in there in our lifetime. For the life of me, I can't. But some of our listeners may remember what was
between
Jack Mims Grocery Store and the next building down, which everybody knows and remembers, is the Wadesonian Theater.
Old Wadesonian, that's right.
And Wadesonian Theater's got a little special spot in both mine and your heart, I know, because my dad and mom both worked there. In fact, that may be actually where they met at. I'm not sure. They both worked for Charlie Wade. My mom kind of raised Charlie's youngest son, Cecil, who just recently passed away. She babysat for him a whole lot, and then she worked down there in the concession stand and selling tickets, and Dad was a projectionist.
That was built
up until he went off to war and then came back and went back to work with Charlie after that. But that was built way back.
Around 1924, I believe, and Mr. Wade actually had the movie theater over in the original or the second First Baptist Church, which was at the site where the City Hall is now. He took that old building when they built their brick building and ran his theater in there, and then was unable to buy it. Somebody else bought it, so that's when he moved up, west of the railroad.
Built that building.
But the Wades owned theaters all over.
Well, Charlie's dad, I think, actually got in the theater business, if my memory is correct, in Calera. They had a lot of property in the Calera area, and I know even after the buddy, the older sons, he had some buildings in Calera. I remember back when I first started taking flying lessons with them and so forth. But the old Wadesonian Theater, and of course it's still intact, and you and I have both been up in the old projection booth, and a lot of the stuff's still up there like it was. There's a few of the chairs still left in the balcony. There was a church in there for a while, and they tore out all the seating that was in the main floor. So that building's going to get a little bit of a facelift, hopefully before too long. The current owner says he's going to do some repairs on it, and I'm not really sure what he's going to do there. Maybe some type of a small auditorium venue for singings or whatever. So looking forward to to that building being restored. I hate to see some of these historical buildings go away. So I'm always tickled when somebody's got a hankering to do some restoration on them.
And there's been a good bit of that lately in town, which is encouraging to me. So,
well, going on down the street, on that same north side of the street, there's a building next to the Wadesonian going towards the railroad track that, again, you and I, neither one can remember anything that's been in there. Right now, there's a tax service in there. Of course, we'll plug those folks that are currently in those locations, and that's A&M Tax Service.
And it's been a tax service
and
a long time.
It's been a tax service there a long time, and actually the little building next to it was also a tax service. It was a H&R Block at one point in time, I remember. Way back. In fact, I had my taxes done there once or twice, I think, back as a younger person. And then there's between that building that's a fairly sized building where A&M's at now, there's those two smaller buildings. And I remember, most of us remember, the one closest to the railroad, if I'm not mistaken, and you kind of agree with me, as being the shoe shop.
Right, it was.
And I don't know, it was a shoe shop through a couple of different people. I remember Mr. Deloach was there for a while. I had the privilege of knowing him. He actually lived next door to me in his latter years for a little while. And cantankerous fellow. But anyway, the shoe shop, and of course then after he retired, I think it was a shoe shop again. I'm trying to remember. Ike may have been there for a little while before he went out on 22. I think
that sounds right.
I think he got it when Mr. Deloach retired, or may have worked together for a little while. So that's a craft gone away from our community, because we've had a couple of shoe repairs.
There were a lot of them at that time.
Shoes aren't repairable anymore unless you got a bunch of super glue.
That's right.
And then, of course, the railroad. And
you're going to do the other side?
Let's do the other side. Yeah, we're going to. Time's flying by in a hurry. We're not going to get all the way up.
No, we're not.
We just go side to side, and then we'll get to an alley and stop maybe or something.
All right.
And I know definitely we may just pause and come back and do a part two for next week. Where we're going if we
Well, the other side is the vet building now.
Yeah, the vet building. Now, prior to being the vet building, it was a furniture store, part of his furniture store. And prior to that, my understanding, it was a skating rink.
It was a skating rink. My dad has mentioned when he was young, they skated there for a few years, I think.
Yeah. Now, that building is a double. One's a little higher level than the other one. Of course, the furniture store was in both, and I guess Dr. Honeycutt owns both halves of it now. And I don't remember if there was anything in the one towards the railroad track side of it when the skate rink was there, whether it was a part of the skating rink or what. You got any idea what was in there?
No, I don't know what was down in there. I know even prior to that building, there were lumber yards and all sorts of things, mostly related to railroad loading and things in the early days there.
And pretty much from that building to the railroad is in my lifetime has always been vacant. But I do remember things being there, like you're talking about, like stacks of lumber and some stone and various things that were there to be loaded on and off the railroad, I guess.
I believe so, right.
Then as that gets us down to the railroad, and we already about to approaching two-thirds of the way through our 30 minutes, and we were worried about we're going to run out of something to talk about. We ain't even got across the railroad track yet. But across the railroad track let's just stay on the south side of the street for just a minute. You had the train station, needless to say, that was there, which the Home Depot has been, as they did away with that train station, Buck Bice purchased that property, and of course he had to move the train station back off the railroad right away.
Right.
And so that kind of shoved it kind of back in behind the other building, because it never did come right up to Second Avenue, but there was an opening to get down there, and it was butted right up against the tracks of the platform of it.
Right.
You stepped off the platform onto the train.
Right. It was the loading platform and everything.
And the boxcars were just even with it, and they would... it was close enough. I don't know if they laid something down between it, but I do remember the old carts that they would roll things out.
And that's the second train station that was built in around 1907, which the original burned with the fire I mentioned earlier, which was it was built more in around 1871, 72 when the train station tracks were actually finished.
Yeah. And then on the corner, which is currently on the corner of, I guess, the railroad and Second Avenue.
Right.
Is, you mentioned it was a Headley building, right?
Right. A Headley built that building. It was wood frame before, and then he rebuilt in brick. It took him a little longer to rebuild than the others, but he did rebuild it. It's two-story brick.
And that building has been a lot of different things down through time from what I hear. At one time, I think it was a hotel or boarding house of some type.
It had rooms people get off the train and could stay in a room for a period.
And then I understand it was a brothel for a while.
I've heard that.
Well, I don't know if the story's true because I hadn't seen it, but the rumor I heard from the current owners is when they started redoing some of the upstairs part of it, there was one door of one of the rooms up there that had Madam above the door. So, interesting things from back in time. And of course, currently that's part of Children's Seed and Feed, and they have some boots and other things in that corner building. Which, speaking of Children's Seed and Feed, that is the building next to it, coming on up up the hill back towards 31.
And, I don't know if you saw it up there in the upstairs of that building, the old electrical, which a lot of these old buildings, it was literally insulators and single wires on each, bare wires.
They call that knob and tube. So wiring. And I've found that in my early days as I've been in some attics around in Clanton. There's a lot of that still. Of course, most of it not in use. Needless to say,
but I hope not.
I hope not. But some of the material still there, and they would actually bore a hole through the rafter and stick a ceramic tube through there, and the wire would feed through that, and they'd have a knob insulator that would wrap around to make the connections
Very interesting how they did it.
Kind of like what you see out on the poles on the street now, but that was what was actually in the attic.
It was in the house, that's right.
Not sure what year Chilton Seed and Feed went in business. I remember it way back when Mr. Mims and Mr. Bice had it for years and years. A lot of interesting stories come out of there because that was a gathering place for a lot of farmers and folks to pass stories around.
The next few buildings, I know one of them was called a Chandler building for a period of time. And then up near the alley, the one there was owned by one of the Evans, which is a merchant family in Clanton going back a long time in the early 1900s. And then they owned also across the alley, Southern Plant. They owned that building, which then that gets us up to about what we remember as Bell Hardware.
Yeah. And of course, one of those little buildings across the alley we're talking about, I remember Miss Parrish. Helen Parrish's mother had a newsstand, I guess would be the proper term for it.
Just a little bookstore, comic
newspapers,
books.
Magazines, comic books. If we still had some of those comic books we bought in there, like that first edition Superman, we could retire.
That's right. She was Miss Ransom by that time.
Yeah,
Helen's mother died father died very young.
Yeah, and you could buy your current edition of Life magazine in there. that was the thing in my time that I remember there. Of course,
we'd go there while my mom went over to Watson's. So
yeah, and coming on up. Well, let's just back up because we already got to the alley and crossed the alley. So let's back up to the railroad and come up the north side.
Right.
And of course, the north side is Jones Feed and Seed. I'm now by Ollie Clyde Jones, and prior to that, no relation, but it was S.A. Jones.
Okay.
So it's been Jones Seed and Feed, I guess, pretty much since there's been a Seed and Feed there, to my knowledge.
Right. It goes probably back into the 30s time frame, and, for sure.
He, Mr. S.A. Had a hatchery also that's in the building. The building's still there, located next to Martin Funeral Home, which where Mr. S.A. lived, was there. And I remember back as a youngin', he had a hatchery. He'd hatch these little chicks, and they'd sell them at the feed store. Because I remember playing with Robert, who's one of my oldest best friends way back, and business partner at one of my businesses. I remember going out to see him, and those they'd have those incubators full of eggs and baby chicks, and taking care of that. And of course, that he sold a lot of that. And of course, Ollie Clyde still sells baby chicks and that kind of stuff for folks, because chicken, personal chickens is coming back into play at the price of eggs this day and time.
That building was, the post office has been many different places around town, but at one point that building was renovated and used as the post office. There seemed to be on like 10-year contracts, so it was about 10 years it was a post office. But coming on, that whole block was basically, it was there was a big two-story wood frame there by owned by Tom Kemp for a long time. And then when that was torn down eventually, I think Mr. Wade, J.Q. Wade, rebuilt that block as all the brick stores we know it as
and,
now.
And you run across that name, you probably, some of you will remember, well, let's come on up to the alley, and then we'll take a peek down the alley when we get to the alley. Coming on up from Jones Seed and Feed, which is a building which is now part of Jones Seed and Feed, for a long time was a beauty shop.
Right.
You and I didn't know that, and we were trying to think, and I called Robert, because I knew Robert grew up in the feed store, and I said, what was between the feed store and the barber shop? And he said it was a beauty shop, and I remember that now that he mentioned it, very vaguely. And, of course, then the barber shop, which is now City Barber Shop, which is Ollie Clyde's shop, was previously Jelly Bean's Barber Shop. Ollie Clyde purchased Jelly Bean. I got my hair cut there many times.
I believe there's a barber shop there
even before Jelly Bean.
I don't know the name of it.
So that's been a barbershop for a long, long time. And then coming on up the street towards town on the north side, there was two other buildings there. One of them now is occupied by A&W Realty. And that building, I remembered as a child in school, back in elementary school. Because back in the days when I was a kid in elementary school, the state didn't furnish textbooks. You had to buy your textbooks every year. You could buy them new, or you could take them and resell them at the end of the year, and they didn't change books every year, so you could buy a used book, and it'd get cycled through two or three different students over time. And that was a bookstore / office supply. And I remember Mr. Alex Hayes ran that when I was a youngster.
I remember that office supply, and that's where you'd buy all your
envelopes,
your things for school.
I don't remember all the school supply. You get your nifty notebooks in there. And
I don't remember the buying your own textbooks in those days, but because I guess I'm a few years behind you, but they were state provided by then.
The state started providing them, but the first few years I was in school, and my brother, textbooks were. Well, you bought them, and in fact, probably still got a couple of those old textbooks that was bought from Alex Hayes, and I'm not sure what the name of his business was. I think it was Clanton Office Supply, maybe. Or something like that. But Alex Hayes, speaking of him, later on became the civil defense director in his latter years. Of course, Burton Mullins was our first civil defense director years and years back, and then Alex became civil defense director later on. I spent some time as a young teen and young adult working with him involved in civil defense. So that gets us on up to and there were two buildings, and I think Mr. Hayes used both of those buildings, if I remember correctly. One of them may have been more the office supply, and the other one the school book stuff. But then that gets us to the alley, and we talked about taking a peek down the alley. If you take a peek down the alley way back when, you found the ice house.
Yeah, an ice plant,
which was also a power generating plant before that.
Power plant before that. It was all by Mr. Wade, J.Q. Wade. Anybody's got a picture of that ice plant, everybody wants to see a picture of it, and I don't know of any. So
yeah,
that would be great.
I remember I've been there many times. I can still smell it because it smelled like ammonia, because they use ammonia, cooling systems. Back in the early days when my dad was with Coca-Cola, prior to he was with Pepsi-Cola. Most folks remember him as Pepsi Man, but he spent a lot of time with Coca-Cola before he went to work with Pepsi. And we would go get ice for special events, and I remember getting them big old blocks of ice that we'd put in the post mix machines, and of course we had bagged ice, chipped ice as well. But I remember being in the ice house. Never was there when it was a power plant though. But that was the first electricity generating plant for Clanton.
Right.
And Jim Wade lit up downtown Clanton with that for that plant. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was a coal-fired steam type generating plant.
I'm sure it was coal-fired. I don't know what else it would have been at the time. And that was well before Laydown, Mitchell Dam, and
way before
power was brought from the dams. So that was a... He also moved that equipment out to his gin out at 2nd Avenue later on.
Yeah.
So there's actually a picture of that one.
Okay.
So
I remember the old gin there on 2nd Avenue around the curve.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
I remember it being there. All right. Well, let's see where we're at time-wise. Well, we're out of time. So we're going to stop at the alley, and we'll resume part two of this at some point in time.
Okay.
We'll pick it up at the alley and come on up to 31 and see if we can get across 31 and get on into downtown Clanton and eventually make it all the way up to the courthouse. So, right. Derek, I appreciate you you spending time with us. Once again, our guest today, Derek Scott. Derek's done a lot of history research on Chilton County and Clanton, and this will not be the only time that you will hear from Derek on this program. So I appreciate your time. And to our listeners, we certainly appreciate your time spending time with us this morning. Peach Talk airs every Friday morning from 8 o'clock to 8:30 and reruns every Sunday afternoon at 5. And you can listen to any of the previous episodes of Peach Talk simply by going on the line at peachtalk.live and just click on the episode by date there. And we don't have it listed by who the guest is, but it doesn't take but just a second to listen to find out who the guest is going to be. So you can flip back through there and listen to any of the previous instances. So once again, thank you so much for joining us. This is Peach Talk. This is our town.